here to worship, and I've got a heart full of messages that we looked at or began to look at last week again. So let's open our Bibles once more to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. I ran through, I think 17 slides last week. Yeah, 17 slides last week in 18 minutes. And so we covered a lot of stuff. And so I wanted to go back and just revisit this. It's got such a wealth of information in Ephesians chapter 6. I said last week that I had begun a series on the book of Ephesians and never got to the end. The last part here, again, has to do with a believer's walk, chapter 5 and chapter 6. And chapter 6 has to do with fighting the good fight. I'm filling out another message out of 2 Peter 1 that has to do with growing. That's that verse that says, add to your faith temperance and patience. Six things there to add to our faith. And so I almost melded that in here, but I said, no, let's keep them separate. Here we're looking at six pieces of armor, actually five pieces of armor, along with the sword. And I had such fun pulling this together that I thought we need to spend a little more time looking at these, especially let's cover the first three this morning. So if you have your Bible there, Ephesians chapter 6, let's go ahead and look at some things that we need. Notice again that it's been said before that we're all to be soldiers. There's a battle going on. There's a war going on. We've entered into, again, the promised land already. In that promised land, we're to conquer and be victors over things going on. And let's go ahead and start a little bit more here on considering what it takes to be a warrior, to contend for the faith in this day and age. Again, that starts here in chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren. And so it's interesting when you hear a preacher say finally, that usually means that it's winding down again. Here I'm not sure that's the case. Finally, in fact, there's a couple books that Paul wrote where he's got a couple finally my brothers. I think Philippians qualifies for that. And so notice here it begins in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. You follow along carefully in your Bible as I read this. It says, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm going to add a couple things here as we go down through verses that popped in my head, and I got them on slides previous. And that is, again, without Him, we can do nothing. Boy, it's good for us to remember that. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, God said. Again, if we're going to do anything, the greatest ability that we can have is just availability, making ourselves available to God, because it's done in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave a single piece out. And here again, an emphasis that this is a descript of the whole armor needed by man in this army for the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that devil is a sly old fox. I'd like to beat him up and stick him in the box. Again, the bus song said as we sang it on the old bus tours. There's wiles of the devil, and we looked at that again, that it's a deceitfulness, it's a trick. Those wiles of the devil, not only are the devil who torments us, the devils, plural, if I could say that, that torment us. But we, again, are our own worst enemy. And so here, again, some things, again, are wiles that we have in our own old flesh. But again, they war against the spirit. And here's the battle plan for winning victory over them. And then the next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Anyone that's watched a little bit of news since January 20th has seen the exposure of spiritual wickedness in high places. And so again, when we consider that, sometimes we need to come back from Washington, D.C., step back from Albany, and recognize that, hey, that's going on right here. That's going on in our lives. And again, that enemy wants to deceive, wants to trick. And it is spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not only in the leadership of America, but certainly it is in the world, and certainly it is the direction of this world. And so keeping in mind, again, that the enemy's always bigger than what we've thought. I've been in the military for 23 years, and if you've ever worked for the government, you're probably quick to realize that government is not able to do conspiracy stuff very well. So whenever I see someone talking about a conspiracy to try and prove that man didn't land on the moon, or whatever conspiracy they might beguile you with, understand that government incompetence is far superior to any kind of conspiracy ideas. And so incompetence is rampant in that realm. But understand also that there's things pulled, there's cords pulled, there's actions pulled behind the scenes that are bigger than government. That is Satan himself. And so when we see things and it doesn't make sense to us, again, understand that there are things going on behind the scenes with spiritual wickedness in high places, and also there are rulers of the darkness that indeed might not do a press release. They're behind the scenes. But again, they are satanic. They are demonic. They are, again, things going on in our world that is evil. And here we are charged to live in the midst of all that, and to do battle here with it is the theme of this short chapter. And so it goes on, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice again the emphasis again. Don't be partly armed. Again, have the whole armor, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And we are indeed living in an evil day. The prince and power of the air is Satan. And again, understand that there is powers going on that be, and that's the enemy that we're up against. Again, I have, as I put these slides together before, there were so many things that I could have covered and probably should have covered in each one of these, again, to understand that we need to rely on the strength of the Lord, what principalities and what our enemy looks like, and here, this whole armor of God, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, so that we can withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14 then says, stand therefore. And so that's where we're going to start, with the list of armor that we need to arm ourselves with. And it says here, stand therefore with your loins girt with the truth. Your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again for its charge here. And Father, for the clarity that we find in it. Thank you that we could be a soldier. Thank you, Father, that behind all this armor is a child. And Father, we'll praise you again and thank you for blessing as we make sure that we are carefully armored to withstand and also to stand. And we'll give you the praise for your blessing on this portion of Scripture. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Last week, I tried to make a big deal about the first few pieces here of armor that are listed. And I want to do that again because you can't make a too big a deal about this. And that is salvation. The salvation that we have. And so I put together a whole list of verses on here that deal with salvation, with our loins girt with truth. And it is the gospel truth that leads us to salvation. And again, our world is deceived. Our world is deceived by religion. This world is deceived by those things, again, in this life where people are trying to be a good person and earn their way to heaven. The world is deceived with a lie about so great a salvation. And so let's go ahead and look at that here, the truth of the gospel and the gospel message. I didn't mention this, but all of these are available on our website. If you just go to messages, I think I put it on a link that we had there, messages/armor, and spelled without a U, messages/ARMOR, just brings up a PDF file of all of these slides, and be worth our effort to, again, have that. I'll make it more available on our website as I finish it and get it organized, but as right now, you can look at the slides in draft form as we have them at www.gsbaptistchurch.com/messages. No, not messages. MSGS. That's messages with no vowels. MSGS/ARMOR.PDF. It's a PDF file. And it's, again, worthwhile having that again. And I like it. I got it on my phone. I got it on my devices here so that I can just flip through that and remember and put the emphasis on them even in our life. I was mentioned last week, again, the Brother Parchman. I almost lost his name again. Evangelist Parchman and his wife said they would every morning when they get up, first thing they do is they take Ephesians chapter 6 and they symbolically place all this armor on them as they recite these few verses again about putting on the whole armor of God. And probably that's a good thing to be mindful of that. We're only going to do the first three pieces here today to emphasize them and look at them. But notice again that these first two pieces, the truth and the righteousness, is a portrait of us putting on salvation. So the our loins girt about in truth, that's where we're going. Again, when we get the gospel, and the gospel is the saving truth of the Word of God. Let's go ahead and look, and I'll preach slow and we'll get through a lot of these verses. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. I could be wrong, but I'm quite sure it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let me hold my place here in Ephesians 6. Turn back a couple pages, 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Second Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look with me at just the opening verses of this chapter. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." And so here's a descript of the gospel wherein we are saved. Here's what we need our loins girt about with, And then it says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, I hope you was taking notes, is what Paul was saying there when he preached this for them. Unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And I like this little clause, according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the truth that we're to have our loins girt in. Verse 4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, again, according to the Scriptures. And then that he was seen. And so, again, that he was substituted for us. And that he again provides the Passover sacrifice that gets us out of the condemnation of sin. We looked at that last week in John 3:17. That's why he came. We looked at that in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. A myriad of verses that we'd like to look at concerning salvation, to be students of what happens to a person when they get saved. I like this one. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 and look with me at so great salvation as it's described there. Hebrews in chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. I'm in Hebrews in chapter 2. The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then look at verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, in other words, there's going to be a judgment to sin, God says so. Romans chapter 1 says everybody knows that there's a judgment day coming, and that we're coming up short in that judgment. So even the most declared atheist, when they pillow their head at night, they know that there's a God. God said so. They know again that they're going to give answer to him. God said so. And they know again that they're going to come up short in a judgment. God said so. And so again, when God says again very clearly that there's a judgment, here's a reference made to that judgment that we can know that sin must be judged. And then look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, which says this, how shall we escape this judgment? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? That's the Lord Jesus Christ right there. It began to be spoken by the Lord, who said he would go to Jerusalem and they would crucify him. And remember, his disciples couldn't comprehend what he was saying at the time. But again, it began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So they heard him and say these things, and now we're talking about the apostles here. Again, they give witness that is the gospel, that he died in our place. He died for us. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. That's the Acts of the Apostles, where we see miracles done in his name by those men that were with Jesus. And the whole world was shaken, the Bible says, because of their teaching and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And then look at verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Man is in a special stance right here to receive salvation. Angels don't. Man is in a position where he might be called a sons of God. angels never got that bearing. And so notice here again, turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 12. Let's look at them angels a little bit. 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, again, in fact, any one of these apostles starts talking about salvation and they're just overcome with verbiage here, talking about how great this salvation is, so great salvation. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12 says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Notice the loins there again. And the emphasis, loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we see again here this so great salvation talked about by the prophets. And now it has come. Now it's available to you and I. And boy, there ought to be an excitement in our heart that here we are alive in a day and age when so great salvation is available to us. And so let's go ahead and look now at that. And that is a putting on this righteousness of God. And I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, that is the so great salvation that's received here in these first two armor pieces. That we again have salvation. That we are righteous before God. You know what it means to be righteous? It means that we're never wrong. I've met people who thought they was never wrong, but they was mistaken. Okay, and so again, understand that, hey, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we put on his righteousness. What a portrayal with these first two pieces of armor. But I want to go ahead and put our emphasis here on the next piece of armor given there in Ephesians and chapter 6. Let's look at it right out of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Verse 14 says, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We need the truth of the gospel. And boy, we need to learn that. And we need to have joy in that. And we need to be students of so great salvation. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And having an understanding of what all that is. And then notice what it says in verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We was asked at the dinner last night to go back in time and to remember the last time you led someone to salvation. The last time you again brought someone to the throne and they got born again saved. And Brother Grimaldi said this. He said, the excitement of doing that is more exciting than even your own salvation. When you lead someone else to a place where they accept Christ. And again, as a youth pastor, so many times I see young people do that. What a blessing. What a joy. To be in a place where, again, you've shared the gospel with somebody and you've walked them through the Romans road And they again bow their head and accept Christ as their own personal Savior. And they get flat born again. They get flat saved, as Brother King said. When someone gets that saved, it should have two syllables. And he says they got saved. And so again, I want you to think back. Is there a time when you led someone to Christ? Is there a time when you again showed somebody that Romans road, and they bowed their head and they prayed and asked that? And boy, again, the joy that brings that into our life. The joy, again, the remembrance of what it is to be saved. The remembrance of the great change that was brought into my life. The remembrance of what salvation is and what it's all about. It's such a rush. It's such a great joy again in our lives to be in a place where we share that with somebody else. And notice this piece of armor right here in verse 15 is that we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got our loins girt. We've got our breastplate on. We've tasted of, we've received salvation. And the first task is that we would again tell somebody else what happened to us. That we'd have opportunity to share the gospel with somebody else. And so we need to be about the Father's business as far as the preparation of the gospel. Thy word is truth. We've looked again at some memory verses there about the truth. Again, when we look here now at, again, putting on the armor. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. That's why the slides aren't making sense. The five things that we do when we're saved, we'll come back to that. But our footwear. Notice again that I had a couple of counseling sessions that we've had in times past. I was an RU counselor doing RU training, I was a counselor in the prisons, working in jails, to deal with people, especially when they got saved again, but more so to have their discipleship, their training, the first steps that they want to take. And it was very common, again, that we would have them write out the Romans Road. Write it out by hand. If you've never done it, boy, I'd give an assignment today that you get yourself a notebook and write out by hand 12 verses that we use again to teach someone the Romans Road, to express someone, to walk someone through the process of being saved. And so I thought it'd be good in a couple minutes here that we just walk through that again. Well, there's a song we sing around here that says, "Tell me the old, old story." And let's go ahead and do that just now. Let's look at these verses. Find them in your Bible. I hope they're marked or underlined or marginalized so that you can pick them out. John 3 in verse 16 is our jumping off point. Amazing how many people know John 3:16. I think it was Al Gore was asked, "What's your favorite Bible verse?" Al Gore never heard of a Bible, never read one. But he said, "Oh, my favorite Bible verse is John 16:3. I still remember that. And I still looked up the verse and said, yeah, that probably would be Al Gore's favorite memory verse. John 16:3. You should look it up sometime. But anyway, John 3:16 is a verse that most of the world used to know. Most of the world don't right now. So the list of verses begins here in John 3:16. For God, let's say that out loud and together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a good verse, but it's only an opening. A lot of the people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ up here in their head, but they haven't followed through with a belief where they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John 3:16 jumpers off is our first verse. But then the next two verses are very key to understanding that we need to be saved and what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And I like to underline that word. I like to emphasize that word. Are you trying to get me saved? Yes, I am. You need to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." John 3 and verse 36, jump into the last verse of that chapter. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Very clear emphasis that everybody needs this. We need salvation. John 5:24 then clarifies one more time that we get saved from condemnation. John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listen, I said that in our prison council, in our RU council, now again in what we're putting together for our Bridge to Recovery program, this is first and foremost that we understand these 12 verses, that we know them, that we can recite them. Paul here, when he says, hey, your first piece of armor that ought to be on is that our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wow! Again, the first emphasis is that, again, we be ready to tell somebody else what happened to us. And again, that's the emphasis of this feet being shod. And so then it just goes through, again, our familiar verses. So that's the verses John 3:16, 17, and 18. 36 and 5:24. And once again, we've got them written now. There's a need for salvation. And again, that need, again, that everyone needs to be saved, ties right back to our final verse over there in Romans chapter 10. And so our Romans road, and I've simplified the Romans road here. Lots of people take and rearrange these verses in different order. I like to put them in the order they show up in my Bible. I can just flip through and pick them out in the order that they're given here. Romans 3:10 says that, "For as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." 23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:8, "For God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift, of God is eternal life." And boy, I like to emphasize that it is a gift. It's not deserved. You don't count beads for it. You don't do penance for it. There's no good works that you can do. It is the gift of God that brings eternal life. And then, of course, Romans 10:9-10, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made to salvation." I may have these two backwards. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So people that believe all these things but have never approached God to ask him to save them, again, understand the importance of going and asking him for that salvation is emphasized there in Romans 10:9-10. And then verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It goes on in that verse that talks again about how shall they hear without a preacher. And it comes up to a verse that says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so again, when we're dealing with somebody to show them their need of salvation, boy, you need verses. You need Bible verses. It is the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we, again, ought to have these verses memorized. We ought to be able to, anyone, I'm reminded of Brother Garraway again, who was on the street handing out gospel tracts down during Mardi Gras, he was, and they'd handed out all their tracts and ran out of tracts. And he said, well, I guess we got to go home. We're all out of tracts. And his friend said, no, we don't. We can just tell them what the tract says. And they just started preaching this Romans road and giving it to people, on the streets down there. And boy, that's just true for us. It's good to give them a tract. I like to give them a tract. In fact, I don't give them a tract. I'd say, I'd like you to take my business card. I guess I can do that because my name's on here. But I'd like to give him my business card. It's got some verses that changed my life. I'd rather call this verses that changed my life than a tract. People don't know what a tract is and they're scared of it. And so again, understand that we can hand out tracts. But boy, we need to open our mouth and be a witness. One of the other assignments, I think I put it on here, in our Bridge to Recovery program, is that you give a testimony. These slides, by the way, are on our webpage called under B2R, Bridge to Recovery. They cover some rules about, or some suggestions about, how you would write out your personal testimony. So again, for an assignment for today here at church, I'd go ahead and give you an assignment. Write out 12 verses and then practice giving them to somebody, anybody, and see if you can find somebody this week and say, hey, I got some verses I've written out here and I'd like to read them to you. And again, just share with them these 12 verses. And then secondly, and maybe firstly, I'm not sure which in order here we've given them before, But be able to tell what happened to you. To be able to write out your own personal testimony in complete sentences and complete thoughts. That again, it captures even what happened to you and how you came about to know again that you have, present tense, have eternal life. People need to hear our testimony. People need to hear us say again what happened to us. People need to hear us recite the verses that got us saved. And again, notice again that this first piece of armor, crucial piece of armor that Paul mentions here to the church of Ephesus, is after you've come to the truth, after God has clothed you in his righteousness, boy, the very next thing that we need to have is that our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's do that. Let's be that. And again, I think back of the last time I won someone to the Lord. I think back of the many times, and very honestly, it's been years. It's been fallow years here in Yates County as far as leading someone to the Lord and having them take hold on the Bible verses with such a fashion that they get saved, again with two syllables, and born again. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But boy, when you think back to a life that, again, you shared those verses with them, and they get saved. Boy, the joy, the zeal that it puts in your step, again, is an important part, and Paul emphasizes it here, that you need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's put our boots on, and let's again be prepared to share that gospel. And boy, if you're prepared and you ask God for a chance, he'll give you a chance to try it out again. And then some of us might have to ask him to kick us a little bit harder so that we would open our mouth, we would pursue, and we would, again, share with them the saving grace. I'm old. Beverly and I are all alone here in New York State. Our family's all gone away, and so we're living a lonely existence down on Juanita Lake. We're barely able to make it through winter. But listen, we got people that call us every day. So every day I get to talk to somebody about Medicare insurance. And so they've called every day this past week, and that's what they want to talk about is my Medicare. And I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have recited that list of 12 verses probably 10 times this past week. I just, again, if it's a human, now most of my calls aren't human. I practice on non-human calls, and they're AI calls, so they stutter and don't know what to do. But when you get a human on the phone, let me share with you something that I learned too. They're trying to teach you or sell you something. Let me share you something that I've got out of the Holy Scriptures. Then just start John 3:16 and recite right down through them. If you need a 3x5 card to heaven on, get your 3x5 card, set it by your no-call zone, a telephone, and again, find somebody that we can recite those so that our feet would be prepared to give out the gospel of peace. God will bless. God will help us. Father, praise you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. And just looking at this third piece of armor, Father, I get excited to know again, Father, that we are left here to be ambassadors. In fact, the whole reason that you said that old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new is so that we could be ambassadors for you, ministers of reconciliation, it says in that text. So I pray that you'd help us to be that this week. And Father, we haven't had too much luck here in Yates County. We haven't had too much response here in Yates County. So I'd ask that you'd help us in that regard. And show somebody up, Father, that we could again just share the gospel with. And help that our hearts would be prepared. Help again that we'd be eager to talk about what you did for us. And Father, to lay out 12 verses in front of people this week. Help us, bless us, and smile upon us as we'd strive to do that. We'll give you the praise and thank you again for your touch and your blessing. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Just before we dismiss, let me mention that I got a call from Eric Arden. Do we remember Eric Arden? Eric Arden got saved and baptized here. I'm trying to remember when, but he was a young teenager. Came here for several years and then moved out of the area. He's been up around the Rome area, north of Utica there. Living, and he's moved back into the area and called me and said I need to, he wanted me to give him a ride to church this morning. So I was going to go and drive all the way out to Seneca Falls and give Eric a ride to church this morning. I said, no, I'm not doing that. But I can have somebody pick you up for church this morning. And so I called Pastor Fenton. And so pray for Eric Arden and that he'd get back in church, that he'd get growing again. He was excited. I checked with him. He is saved. He has been reading his Bible, but he hadn't been growing like he ought to. So pray for him. And what a blessing again to just have some, while I was preparing some of this message here, to have him call. What a joy again to bring him across our path. But listen, there ought to be people out there that there are other Eric Ardens out there that just need to hear the gospel. And pray again that we could be useful in doing that. Let's stand and we'll dismiss with a song. What's in our songbook, 723 or something like that. It says, "For God so loved the world." I hope you know it. Let's dismiss with that short chorus. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree. from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me. Lord bless you for being in church this morning. Greet one another with a holy kiss. But don't spread no germs before we leave.
Why not?